Well, welcome. Welcome to BCF. Welcome back to our series, Break Every Chain. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about these chains. These chains that have been holding us down, maybe holding us back from everything that God has for us. Maybe these are chains that have been holding you down all of your life. Or maybe they're even chains that were passed down to you by your parents. And we've talked about how Jesus breaks every chain. Maybe it's the chains of addiction. Jesus can set you free from that chain. We've talked about the chains of sexual sin and how often we are trying to fulfill a deeper need for love or for acceptance or for comfort or for value. But these are needs that only Jesus can fulfill. We talked about breaking the chains of family brokenness and how Jesus can heal every family wound, and we don't have to pass these wounds down to our children. We talked about breaking the chains for the love of money and how Jesus sets us free through generosity, through discipline, through contentment, but most of all, choosing to serve only Him. Jesus breaks every chain. Now, if you missed any message in this series, I want to encourage you, go to our YouTube channel. You can watch them because this was such a powerful, powerful time. Jesus breaks every chain. Now, I want you to see what the Bible says in Psalm 107:14. It's here in your notes. It says, He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Jesus sets you free. Now, each of these issues that we've been talking about is like opening a door in your life to let Satan and his forces come in and to hold you hostage and to chain you up. And we don't want this. We want Jesus to break these chains. But one of the most dangerous traps that Satan has set for us, and one that we rarely talk about in church, is witchcraft and the occult. Now, I know when I say witchcraft, some of you are rolling your eyes. You're like, okay, Pastor Bo, Harry Potter, Dungeons and Dragons, whatever. It's just fantasy. It's just make-believe. Friends, I'm not talking about fantasy today. I'm talking about some deeply ingrained beliefs in our culture. When I first moved to Brownsville, I was just 11 years old, and a lot of our cultural practices kind of took me by surprise. My baby brother Camden was born here in Brownsville, and he's this little güerito, and my parents would take him everywhere to the grocery store, and everywhere we went, people were like, ay, que chulo, and they would want to touch his face, and my mom was like, why are these strangers trying to touch my baby? Now, if you grew up here, you know why. They didn't want to give him what? Ojo. The evil eye. And the idea is, if you see something beautiful or something that you would be jealous of or envious of, you need to touch it, because if you don't touch it, you could inadvertently curse it. Give it ojo, the evil eye. We have a belief in curses. We also have curanderos, witch doctors. My wife Gianna, she did grow up here, and she said in her barrio, that's what she called it, across the alley from her house, there was a curandera. And you would smell weird smells coming from there, and you peek over the fence, there'd be like weird things going on. And all the neighborhood kids were terrified of the curandera. And we laugh about it now, but God does not treat these things as innocent fun. He takes it very seriously. I want you to see what he told the ancient Israelites. Now, this was just before they entered the promised land. This is modern-day Israel. That area, God had promised this land to the Jewish people. But before they entered the land, he told them this. He said, do not let your people practice fortune-telling or use sorcery or interpret omens or engage in witchcraft or cast spells or function as mediums or psychics or call forth spirits of the dead. Now, today I'm going to refer to all these terms under one blanket term of witchcraft. And God says, anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Now watch this. He says, it is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. See, God takes these things very seriously, not because they are real. The witchcraft, the fortune telling, a lot of it is fake. God doesn't hate it because it's real. He doesn't hate it because it's innocent fun. God hates it because there are real evil spirits in the world. And God says, I want you to have nothing to do with them. Now, maybe you've been involved in brujeria or had your cards read or your palm read. I want you to know you can break free from these things today. Now, maybe some of you are saying, well, Pastor Bo, I've never touched any of those things. But you will have friends or family members who are involved in this, and I want you to know how to help them. Jesus breaks every chain. Now, I'm going to share with you a true account from the Bible on how Jesus breaks this chain. This took place after Jesus rose from the dead. He sent his followers out into the world, and one of them, the Apostle Paul, he's traveling throughout the Middle East, on into Asia. He eventually makes his way to southern Europe. But right now, Paul is in Asia, in modern-day Turkey, and he's in the city which is called Ephesus. And as he's telling people about Jesus, in the same town, there is a group of Jewish exorcists, and they called themselves the Seven Sons of Sceva. And the Sons of Sceva, they were kind of like the Ghostbusters. If there's something weird in the neighborhood, you call the Sons of Sceva, and they would come, and they would say these weird-sounding incantations, and they'd be like, boom, the demons are gone. Now pay us. It was all for money. It was all a show. It was all fake. And at the same time, Paul is there, and he's got the Spirit of God living in him, and people are actually getting healed, and they're actually getting free from demons. So the Sons of Sceva think, let's use the name Jesus in our incantations. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. One day, they faced an actual evil spirit, a demon-possessed man, and they tried this. And the Bible says, but one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? Think about that. They knew who Jesus was. The demons know Jesus, and they are terrified of him because he's the Son of God. But the demons also recognize Paul. Can you imagine if the demons knew who you were? Like, man, that Jessica, I don't mess with Jessica. No, we stay away from her. That Juan, he's a prayer warrior. We stay far away from him. But they didn't know the Sons of Sceva. Why? Because they were fakes. They were curanderos. They were messing around with things they had no business messing with. And the Bible says, then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and attacked them with such violence, they fled from the house naked and battered. This one man with an evil spirit beat up and tore the clothes off of seven men. Friends, I'm telling you this today because there are two truths I want you to walk away with. Truth number one, there is a real spiritual world. Paul wrote to the believers in Ephesus, the same city where this took place, and he told them this, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. If you have a pen or pencil, I want you to underline evil spirits. There are evil spirits at work in our world. And witchcraft and card readers and psychics, so much of that is fake. But there is a real spiritual world, and God says, I don't want you to have anything to do with these things because there really are evil spirits. Truth number one, there is a real spiritual world. But truth number two, and this is even more important, we don't have to live in fear. I'm not telling you this today so you're afraid of the devil. We don't have to be afraid of Satan or demons or evil spirits or curses. Why? Here's what the Bible says. You belong to God. Underline that. That's the key. You belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. If you've invited Jesus Christ into your life and he's forgiven you and set you free, he sends his Holy Spirit to live inside you, and you have the Spirit of God in you. And when that's part of you, when the Spirit of God is in you, you belong to God. And when you belong to God, evil spirits can't touch you. Now, the problem with the sons of Sceva is they didn't belong to God. They didn't have the Spirit of God living inside them. They were using Jesus' name like a magic spell. And just saying Jesus' name, if you don't have faith in him, there's no power in using Jesus' name as a magic incantation. You have to put your faith in him. And when you do that, you belong to God. So how do we break the chains of witchcraft? I want to read to you from the Bible what happened next. After all of this, after these guys get beat up and they run away, the Bible says the story of what happened spread quickly through all through Ephesus, the entire city, Jews and Greeks alike. And a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. If you want to be set free from witchcraft, from evil spirits, truth number one, step number one, you must fear God. More than any evil spirit, fear God. And fearing God means saying, God, I am more afraid of hurting you, of offending you, than I am of any evil spirit. You're saying, God, I fear hurting you. I am putting you first. See, because when it comes to witchcraft and curanderos and curses, there's a lot of fear involved. And the fear is, man, if I get involved in these things, and now that I'm involved, I can't ever leave because then I'll be cursed. But you don't have to live in fear. Fear God. Several years ago, I was talking with a friend in a small group here at church, and he's telling me his story, and he was telling me how he used to be involved in Santísima Muerte. And I'd heard of this before. I'd seen the decals of Saint Death on the back of people's trucks, and I didn't know much about it, and he was telling me you would pray to Santa Muerte, and she was supposed to protect you from death and protect your prosperity and make you prosper. And one day, he's like, man, this is kind of scary stuff, and he says, I want out. And his other friends who were involved in Santa Muerte, they were telling him, no, you can't leave. If you ever try to leave, you will be cursed. And he's like, no, forget it, I'm out. And he left all his Santa Muerte stuff behind. He left it, anything with a decal, anything involved with it, he left it. He ghosted the people who were involved with it. He never, like, changed his number, never talked to them again. He got out. But then later he came to BCF Church, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And I told him, friend, you belong to God now. You don't need to fear any curse. Why? Because you belong to God. Here's what the Bible says. Numbers 23:23, no curse can touch Jacob. No magic has any power against Israel. And friends, what was true of ancient Israel is true of us today. Because the Bible also says, now that you belong to Christ, underline that, that's the key again, you belong to Christ, God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Friends, evil has no power over us. Curses have no power over us if we belong to Christ. If you've invited him into your life to come in and forgive you, to be your Lord, as he mentioned just now when he was baptized, Jesus is Lord, then curses and magic have no power over you. But your first step is to say, God, I fear you more than any evil spirit. I want to please only you. After you become a believer, after you put your trust in Christ, step number two to break free, you must renounce your evil practices. That means you say, this was wrong, and I am turning from this. Here's what happened in the Bible. After people heard the power of the name of Jesus, many became believers. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices. They said, God, we used to do these things. We used to practice magic and sorcery and all these evil things, but God, now we're turning from this and we're following you. You know, it helps to, you tell this to God, but it helps to tell another believer. The Bible says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Tell someone else. Ask them to pray for you. Now, I know sometimes you feel like, but what if they judge me? What if they're like, man, I can't believe you were involved in these evil things? Friends, we will not judge you. BCF Church is a place for new beginnings. We rejoice with you that Jesus has set you free. Renouncing evil things could be renouncing things your parents did. Maybe your parents took you to a curandero to have a protection spell placed over you, or they took you to get your palm read or your cards read. Friends, you can renounce those things. Say, God, I know those things were wrong. I'm turning from those things. I'm following you now. Fear God. We turn from the evil practices. But number three, there's another important step we have to take. We have to get rid of any evil material. The Bible says a number of them who had been practicing sorcery. So this is believers. These are Christ followers who are following Jesus, but they used to do these things and they still had all their stuff. It says, they brought their incantation books and burned them at a public bonfire, and the value of the books was several million dollars. See, when you invite Jesus into your life, he sets you free, but then it's time to clean house. You invite him in first and then you clean house. You say, God, I'm gonna get rid of anything that's not pleasing to you. Because you don't want to leave a door open in your life for Satan to come in. You say, well, what do I get rid of? Ask God. God will make it clear to you. Maybe it's movies that glorify evil. You know, there's all these movies coming out with demon possession and the occult. Man, I stay far away from those things. Why? Because there is a real spiritual world. Now, I don't believe these movies. I don't believe they're telling the truth about how things are. But I know there is a real spiritual world, and I stay far away from anything involving evil spirits. Here's a good prayer to pray. This is from the Bible. Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life. Saying, God, search me. Is there anything in my life? Is there anything in my home that's not pleasing to you? Now, for me, this meant going through my video game collection. I told you before, I'm a gamer. Don't judge. But I went through my video game library, and there was this one fantasy game where the player could pray to and serve these other gods and goddesses. And I know this is fantasy, this is make-believe, this isn't real, but the Holy Spirit in my conscience said, Bo, you don't need this in your life. And I'm like, but God, I spent money on that game. But look at Acts 19:19 again. The value of the books they burned was several million dollars. Friends, getting rid of evil may cost us, but I fear God. That means I don't want anything in my life that is displeasing to him, that is hurting him, that is offending him. Maybe you say, well, I still don't know what to get rid of. You may invite a Christian friend, a trusted, mature Christian friend over and say, hey, would you walk through my house and pray with me? And is there anything in my house that's displeasing? And maybe they say, oh, you know, this thing over here, I don't know. I don't feel good about this. Invite other people to be part of this. Break every chain. Jesus breaks these chains, but first you fear God. You say, God, I fear you. I want to please you. I'm not afraid of any evil spirit. You say, God, I'm renouncing my evil practices. I'm turning from them. I'm getting rid of evil material. It's time to clean house. And finally, step number four, tell your story. There is power when you tell your story. The Bible says, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. These people were turning from their evil practices. They burned all their evil materials, and the word of God spread. People were getting saved. Friends, when you tell your story of how Jesus set you free, your story has the power to set other people free. Today, I want you to hear from my friend Leslie and her story of how Jesus set her free.
Around 8 years old, I have a specific memory of when my mom said that someone was trying to do something bad to her. I remember that weekend we went to this lady's house, and this lady did a protection spell over me and my sister because my mom thought that someone was trying to hurt us. I loved college, and I got involved with some people who became good friends. We went to a book club in Harlingen, and as I was sitting there and they pulled the book out, I realized that it was on the occult. And this is where I was introduced to paganism. Paganism is pretty. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the devil. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. The longer and longer that I was a part of this book club, I started to see that things were getting darker and darker. I actually became part of a coven in Harlingen. And this is where I kind of took a step back because I started to experience and see and hear things. I got invited to church by someone at college. At that point in my life, I was detaching myself from all the things that I had been involved in college, including witchcraft. I got a new roommate who was a Christian. My Christian girlfriends knew about my past with witchcraft. I had already given my life to Jesus. I wasn't doing this stuff anymore. But I had this very large plastic garbage bag, one of those 33-gallon bags, full of books, of herbs, of candles, of all kinds of things. During that time, I would always close the bathroom door, because if you sat on the couch of my living room, if the bathroom door was open, it looked like someone was looking at me. So I would always make sure that door was closed because it creeped me out. One day I got a phone call at work and it was my roommates saying, "We need you to come home, it's an emergency." So my roommates explained to me that they had been seeing things in our apartment. When I walked in the door and we talked, she was like, "I think it's that bag in the back of the closet. We need to get rid of it." It was like that I had that baggage still that was there, and I hadn't opened it and I hadn't touched it. And I'd kind of forgotten about it. It was in the back of my closet. I think that was a really pivotal moment for me, realizing that there was still something I hadn't surrendered to God. We still haven't renounced this thing. And even though you don't want people to have this, you still need to get rid of it. And you can't put it off anymore. It needs to be done today. It needs to be done now. And she said, before we go, she's like, "I know you've already done this. And I know you've already given your life to Jesus." She's like, "But you need to renounce this stuff in your life." So me and my other roommate, we stood in a circle in my bedroom and we prayed, and I told God, like, "God, I want nothing to do with this any longer. I'm ready to get rid of it. This has no place in my life." We got in two separate cars and we drove to the beach. I was praying all the way in the drive to the beach. And I tell you, like, I had to battle the thoughts of, "You're a terrible person. Like, you did witchcraft. You were a part of things that hurt people." I had to fight those lies. So I was praying the entire time I was in that car. And unknowingly, my friend was also speaking truth to me. She's like, "You're not alone in this. Like, no one's judging you. We're here for you. We're gonna help you get rid of this." Because I was crying. Got out to the beach, started a bonfire, burned all my books. So after we got rid of that stuff in my apartment, a lot of things changed. I didn't have to worry about making sure the bathroom door was closed. I didn't see anybody standing there. There was a peace there. There really was a peace. And I remember as we were collecting the things, I didn't feel peace. I felt gross. I felt dirty. I felt shame. But once we got everything out, man, my house felt good. I felt good.
Jesus set Leslie free. She has peace. You can have that peace. Tell your story. The Bible says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did for us by dying for us on the cross. And by the word of their testimony. Underline that. They told their story. And they did not love their lives so much they were afraid to die. Friends, we don't have to live in fear. Jesus Christ gave his life on the cross so you and I could be set free. The Bible says Christ has rescued us from the curse. And friends, there is no curse that Jesus Christ cannot rescue you from. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Jesus took our sin, our shame, our guilt on himself when he died on the cross. And then he rose again from the dead and defeated death. Santa Muerte has no power. Jesus has power over death. And he offers us eternal life. That's a life worth living today. That's a life of peace, a life of freedom. And that's a life with God forever one day in heaven. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. You can belong to him today. I'm going to put a prayer here on the screen, and if you've never prayed this before, you can belong to God today. Just tell him something like this. Say, "Dear Jesus, your name is powerful. Jesus, your name makes the darkness tremble." Then just ask for forgiveness. Say, "Jesus, please forgive me for all my sin." You're announcing these things. "God, forgive me. I believe." Tell him, "Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe you rose again from the dead." Just tell him that. "Jesus, I believe." And then invite him in. "Jesus, please come into my life and send the darkness out of my life. Jesus, I renounce all evil practices." And friends, whatever they were, you just name them right now. Just tell God, whatever you were involved in, say, "God, I renounce this. I'm turning from this." And then say, "Jesus, please take control. Be my Lord. Be the owner of my life." Just tell him that right now, just like he said when he was baptized. "Jesus is Lord." Say that to him right now. "Jesus is Lord. We love you, Jesus. Amen." Friends, if you prayed that with me today, or maybe you prayed that years ago, I want you to know you belong to God. No evil, no curse, nothing has any power over you because the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And the Spirit living inside you is greater than any spirit here in the world. But maybe you've opened the door to something in your life. I want you to take a moment and just talk to God. Say, "God, search my heart. God, if there's anything in me that's displeasing to you, I'm getting rid of it. If there's anything in my home that's displeasing to you, I'm getting rid of it." Let's talk to him right now. Father in heaven, thank you that you set us free. Thank you that you break every chain. God, we don't want to do anything that displeases you. Search our hearts, oh God. Point out anything in us that offends you. God, search our homes. If there's anything in there that's displeasing to you, show us and we will get rid of it. Father, we want your peace to fill our lives and our homes. We ask this in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, the name that makes the darkness tremble and flee, the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, during this next song, continue talking to God. Confess your evil practices. Turn from it. If you need to pray with someone, we have prayer warriors standing right up here at the front, and I want to invite you, come and pray with them. You can just come down the center aisle and we'll spread you out. You don't need to leave today without someone praying with you. During this next song, come and pray, because Jesus sets the darkness. He sends the darkness flee. Thank you.